Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, you all know that I like to do shows on the Messianic era, the times that we're living in, how the news collaborates or validates what our prophets predicted thousands of years ago. And my questions that I'm going to be asking today are all about what is happening with Jerusalem now being the focus of the world, so many countries upset and angry and refusing to acknowledge what is basic truth, what is so clear, and yet they say no, no, no. What does the number 70 have to do with prophecy and the war of Gog and Magog? What does Donald Trump have to do with anything that's happening? What kind of redemption are we going to see in the Messianic era? Is it going to be a pleasant one, or is it going to be a frightening one? We're going to be having on the show today Rabbi Lazer Brody. He's going to be talking to us about all of these things. You can join me in the chat room if you like. And we'd love to get your comments on the show. You can also share the show afterwards on your social network. I hope that you do. I think it'll be very worthwhile, and I think the show is going to have a lot of value. I want to say hello to everybody who's listening in from all over the world. Let's see. The United States, Canada, Israel, of course. Brazil. Hello in Brazil. The United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and Slovenia, Slovakia. Wow, this is amazing. And Belgium. Just trying to look around there as well, okay? Trying to get them all in. I need my glasses. I didn't bring my glasses. Okay. So anyway, I think it's going to be a very exciting show, and I hope that you're going to stay with us and listen in, and again, share it with your friends. I think it has a lot of value. We need to know what we are going to be facing, or at least how to prepare for whichever scenario we're going to see. I'm going to ask him that question as well. So stay with us. And you're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here on Israel News Talk Radio. And I'm really excited to be with you here. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And today we're going to be talking about the recent vote in the United Nations, where they came down upon Israel, where they came down upon the United States because they had the audacity to recognize Jerusalem, D.C., Jerusalem, David's capital, as the capital of Israel. What are we seeing happening today in the news? Is it proving what our prophets said thousands of years ago? We have as our guest today Rabbi Lazer Brody. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He was born in the United States, moved to Israel as a young adult, joined the Israeli army, and served in one of the elite special forces units. He's a decorated combat veteran of two wars and dozens of counterinsurgence and anti-terrorist missions on both sides of Israel's borders. In fact, his nickname is Rabbi Rambo. After surviving a near-suicidal mission to Beirut during the Israel-Lebanon conflict in 1982, Brody could no longer ignore the hand of God in his life. He became what's called a Baal Tshuva, or a returnee to Torah observance, and he left his mountaintop farm to study Torah in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. He became a rabbi and now works closely with his mentor and spiritual leader, Rabbi Shalom Arush. Today, Rabbi Lazer Brody dedicates his time to Jewish outreach, spreading the teachings of the Rebbe Nachman of Breslov around the globe. He's the author of the book, The Trail to Tranquility, which, by the way, you can get at his website at laserbrody.net. He's also a musician and a composer. He's also a real big fitness guy. He's everything. He writes the award-winning daily web journal, Laser Beams. And again, you can go find it all at laserbrody.net. And he's also the English language editor of the website at breslov.co.il. He goes on speaking tours around the world, spreading the importance of emunah, or faith in God, and he's loved by thousands of people around the globe. So I want to welcome to the show Rabbi Lazer Brody.
Thank you so much, Tamar. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you on. So the United Nations of the world took yet another vote refusing and rejecting the notion, the fact, that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. They refuse to recognize this fact and instead are, in a sense, fighting to wrest Jerusalem from Israel and the Jewish people. From the very beginning, they would not recognize Jerusalem as belonging to us, even at the beginning of the modern state of Israel. And in fact, the Tanakh, or the Bible in English, states thus in the book of Zechariah, or Zechariah in English, chapter 12, verse 3, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples or nations. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces or sorely wounded, and all the nations of the earth shall be gathered together against it." Is this what we're seeing today?
You wanted something, Tamar? When you're reading that, puts a big smile on my face. You know, people that don't look at the Navi, don't look at the prophets, at the prophecies, the whole Torah without Emunah, you know, they're upset. They Gog and Magog and Yerushalayim and what's going to be. But when you know that everything, you look at the world with eyes in Emunah, and Emunah, in case anybody doesn't know, it's full and complete faith in God. And that's what we Jews live by. Okay, that's our number one commandment. We look at the world, faith, everything is great. Everything is wonderful. And what's the great news about this? People say, oh, no, the whole world is against us. When in history did we get awarded for the world in Jerusalem? They've been, since the dawn of history, they've been fighting to wrestle Jerusalem out of our hands, you know, although going back all the way to Esau and Jacob. Okay, but even though this is nothing new, like King Solomon says, nothing new under the sun. But the great news is that our redemption must be imminent, because here you look at the nations of the UN. You say, somebody, what is it in French Tobago or in Mozambique? In Mozambique in Africa, whoever bothered you? Whoever bothered you? What do? We bought chocolate from you. We bought coffee from you. But now Mozambique is joining our enemies in the UN and voting against Israel. Who bothered you, Mozambique? And I can plug in whatever the country you want. Cambodia. What did Israel ever do against, Myanmar, Cambodia, whatever you want to call them, or Burma? Okay, nothing. But since Hashem wants to hasten the redemption, like the prophet Isaiah says, Be'ito Achishena, that the redemption will come right on time, okay, and Hashem has his timetable, okay, Hashem has to go forward in his timetable, and in order to go forward in his timetable, we have the precondition, the prerequisite that the prophet brings down, as you mentioned, and in chapter 12, he brings down that all the nations must come against Jerusalem. And you can ask yourself when you read that, what do they have against Jerusalem? Okay, maybe you can understand, all right, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, our neighboring countries, they want our land, want our border. But once again, what all the nations of the UN? And they all go against it. Okay, but this is the good news. This is the good news. And if you still don't believe me, any of the listeners that this doesn't settle on their heart, the Gemara gives an exact a similar lesson where right after the destruction of the Holy Temple, Rabbi Akiva is walking with Rabbi Tarfon and Rabban Gamliel, the head of the generation, the scholar of the generation, and they're walking in Jerusalem and the ruins of the ruins of the Holy Temple, and they see a fox coming out of the Holy of Holies. Well, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabban Gamliel, they start crying bitterly, and Rabbi Akiva starts laughing. And they say, Rakiba, why are you laughing? He said, why are you crying? He said, well, see, look how the Holy of Holies is defiled. The fox is coming out of there. And Rabbi Akiva is laughing. It's a prophecy. It's a prophecy that the fox, just as the prophet said that the fox, as Jeremiah will say, that the fox will go into ruins of the Holy Holy. Okay, the same. There's another prophecy that says the sons will come back to their borders. Shavuvanim b'gvulam. Okay, and then we'll rebuild the temple. So if one prophecy comes true, then all the other prophecies come true. I'm happy to see that the prophecies are true. And this is what's exciting, is to see about the UN vote. This is the first thing I thought about. So this is marvelous. Happy that the prophecies have come true. And then if that is not enough to show us the prophecies, who would think, you know, we've been through the last 8 years, the former administration, the United States government. And you and I spoke about that a lot of times. And I think on one of our shows together, I told you, do you remember an essay I wrote about Mr. V? V stands for Victory and Veneer. We did a show half a year before the first time that Mr. Obama was elected. And I said he was going to get elected. And you asked me why. And I said, well, it's a giveaway. He came to power. He was a nobody. He came to power on Tisha B'Av. His famous speech at 2004 in Democratic National Convention in the summer, Hashem put a bug in my ear. And I looked at 120 gallons. It's Tisha B'Av. I said, wow, that's a giveaway. That's a giveaway. We know that our enemies, they come to power on Tisha B'Av. Okay, so he came to power on Tisha B'Av. And we suffered for 8 years. And now it turns around. You know, people didn't know what the end of it. And look how Hashem is so loving, kind. You know, what do we do? What do we do? You know, we're trying to do our best, but, you know, we're not tzaddikim. We want to be tzaddikim. We want to be righteous. We want to do the right thing. But here, Hashem miraculously, against all odds, against the whole world, Hashem put Mr. Trump in office. And look what Mr. Trump has done since he's been in office. He's recognized Jerusalem. Okay, so he's going to move the capital. And people said, well, this is illogical. It's illogical. He's making himself a lot of headaches, but yet he's doing this. He's doing this. This shows something else, what King Solomon says in Proverbs, that the hearts of kings are in the hands of Hashem. Something that is politically illogical. For us, it's fantastic. You know, we're dancing in the streets. Okay. For us, it's fantastic, but it's so politically not expedient and illogical. For the President of the United States, he's gone against the State Department. We know ever since Truman, the State Department has been anti-Israeli and pro-Arab and even anti-Semitic. And I don't mind saying anti-Semitic, the American judicial system. And look what Trump, and even a bigger miracle, it looks small and insignificant, but it's a tremendous miracle about Rabbi Shalom Rubashkin being released. Here, other people did what he did. Much worse, they've got to get a year and a half. A Russian spy gets 8 years. They sent him for 27 years. For 27 years, comes around, President Trump and commutes his sentence.
Right.
It's one thing after another. And so this is showing us that there's only Hashem. What this should be for us tomorrow, this should be exciting, this should be encouraging, and this should encourage every single one of us to strengthen our faith.
Okay, but you know, there are some prophecies that are very frightening that we hear about the end of days. We hear about the war of Gog and Magog. We hear about people's eyes melting in their sockets while they're still standing on their feet, which would remind us of nuclear war. There's fire, devastation. Some people say 2/3 of the world's population will be killed. And then there are the more gentler ways that the redemption can come. I'm going to ask you about that. more about that when we get back from the break. We're taking a break in just another minute, Rabbi. But I want to encourage everybody that you can go into the chat room and you can leave your comments there. If you have any questions, I'll try to ask them to the rabbi. And we are live a little bit early, but we'll be playing the show again at my regular time. And we're talking about the redemption. And how is it going to come? Is it going to come in a good and kind way? Optimistically, Trump's going to do some good things for Israel. People are going to start moving their embassies here. Or is it going to be bad? Is it going to be an invasion in Israel? Is there going to be war of Gog and Magog? How is that going to manifest itself? All these questions we're going to tackle when we get back. So don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Back here at the Tamar Yonah Show, and our guest is Rabbi Lazer Brody. We're talking about the end of days, the messianic time. We are looking at the news stories that are happening today, and we're trying to, or at least I'm trying, to find that connection to what our prophet said. And Rabbi Lazer Brody, before we were talking in the last segment about the UN vote, and I wanted to ask you this before we go into different scenarios of the redemption. 70, the number 70, 70, seems to be a very special number. Since the time of the Tower of Babel in biblical times, mankind was thrust into speaking 70 different languages, which actually means now 70 new nations of the world. The War of Gog and Magog, when you take those, the gematria or the numerical value of those letters in Hebrew, Gog and Magog, it adds up to 70, which is also like the 70 nations of the world. And interestingly enough, Israel, the modern state of Israel, is turning 70 years old this year. Does this have anything to do? Is this a hint of something bigger happening?
It sure does. It sure does. Now, we don't know. We know that one thing, the Gemara says that the intestines of someone who pre-guesses, who conjectures about what year Mashiach will come, his intestines should turn over. We don't conjecture, but we do is we fulfill the commandment, the one of our 13 principles of faith, that we eagerly await Mashiach. Okay, this also, the Gemara in Tractate Shabbat 31a also tells us to do that. We eagerly await, but we're not playing Jimmy the Greek in Las Vegas and betting on the year. But there is 70 is a very significant year. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov explains the significance of 70. He said that Jacob's offspring, okay, which in the 70 souls went down to Egypt, okay. Rabbi Nachman says, what's the significance of 70 souls? And Rabbi Nachman quotes the Arizal, quotes the Kabbalah, what the Arizal writes, that there are the 70 souls of Israel are that each one is the archetype of the 70 types of good character traits. Okay, in Kabbalah, we learn 70 types of good character traits. There are 70 nations in the world. And each of the nations of the world are in charge of a different type of negative character trait. One nation loves to steal. One nation loves to murder. One nation loves to embezzle in business, whatnot. Okay. And so therefore, one of the purpose of the diaspora is that, okay, we is for us to uplift the entire world. This light unto the nations. Okay. We get the negative traits of the nations that get rubbed off on us, then we come back to the land of Israel And we can only correct them in the land of Israel. If someone thinks that they could make a correction and outside the land of Israel, they can't. That's why the redemption can only happen in the land of Israel. Now, with this in mind, Tamar, understand all the resistance to the land of Israel and all the resistance to Jerusalem, which is the capital of land of Israel, and all the resistance to the Temple Mount, which is this focal point of Jerusalem. Okay, to understand that the entire correction of the universe, the soul correction of the universe, where what we say in the Eleinu prayer three times a day, when all of living flesh shall call Hashem's name. Now, the dark side doesn't want that. Okay, so what they do, they have wars and everything. But if the nations of the world realized what awaits them in redemption and in rebuilding the Holy Temple and in Mashiach, they would be pushing everyone to go back to Israel. They would be coming, spending all kinds of money to rebuild the Holy Temple. They would do whatever they could that the Jews do their part as light unto the nations. Okay. And this is simply why Rabbi Shalom Arush and I, we devote our lives to spreading Emunah.
Rabbi, I'm going to interrupt you here for a moment because you were just mentioning something, and one of our listeners, her name is Karen, she's asking, do you think that Donald Trump will help build the Third Temple?
Do I think that Donald Trump will?
Help build the Third Temple.
I would love to think so. I would love to think so. There is one thought that Donald Trump is a incarnation of Ahasuerus, who helped the Jews. Is another thought that he's an incarnation of Cyrus, who gave the money to Ezra to rebuild the second temple. We know that there's a lot of strange things with Donald Trump. Donald Trump has Orthodox Jewish grandchildren. You know, Donald Trump has a strong connection to the Jewish people. And the way things are turning out, it doesn't look like we ever had a friend like that. So as far as Karen's question, you know, I would love to see it, but again, that's conjecture.
All right.
You know, I have no proof. It's sure going that in that direction, but, you know, I couldn't to say that he will is conjecture.
Okay.
I would say I'd like to see it.
Let me ask you this. We were discussing before about the redemption. Our prophets have very good prophecies that it can come in a gentle way, and they also have terrifying prophecies that they'll, God forbid, be something like nuclear war, where, as I mentioned before, we're standing on our feet.
That's a great question. And we find the answer in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 60, Isaiah says, Be'ito achishena. You mentioned that in English, okay, that it means he will come in its time. So we think he will come in its time. So our elaborators, our biblical scholars, they explain like this. They say, if we are deserving, then Hashem will hasten Mashiach in a good way. And if we're not deserving, heaven forbid the push button war. So what the way Rav Shalom, my teacher, my beloved teacher, explained this to me is like this. He says, if we're deserving, then Mashiach will come with pleasure and everybody have a smile on their face. In other words, it doesn't have to be like it is. It's like you see the 98 curses at the end of Devarim. Okay, it doesn't have, Rashi explains what that is. Rashi explains that that's like a medicine that you let somebody smell. They don't have to swallow it. It's enough that they smell it. If they're sensitive enough, then they regurgitate all the sickness and they become better. It's the same thing. As long as we see, you know, what will happen if we don't go the right way. But we don't like in this generation, Judaism is not hellfire and brimstone. Anybody that interprets the prophecies literally, okay, doesn't know what they're talking about. Nobody understands Daniel. Nobody understands Ezekiel. Nobody understands Zechariah. Okay, and really, nobody understands Jeremiah. So what is it? My teacher, Rav Shalom, explained to me like this. He said, if we do our job in the world, which is light unto the nations, and we spread Emunah as far and as wide as we can, and we strengthen ourselves in Emunah.
Emunah is faith in God. Go ahead.
Right, full and complete faith in God, okay, and then it will be peaceful. It will be peaceful. And I said, if we don't, and we just use life to chase after the amenities of this world, then we force Hashem into spiritually awakening us because we're not doing our job. We're simply not doing our job. Okay, so when we realize what we're doing in the world and we do our job as light unto the nations, and for example, you know, that's why I'm so happy to talk to you, because you do this beautifully in what you do, Tamar, and you know, the whole staff there at the station, people that spread the news with an Amunah background, people that explain what's happening in the lights of our sources, in the lights of our Torah, our prophets, our sages. Okay,
but Rabbi, some people say that we've already missed that chance. We've already gone over the historic date when we could have gotten it in a good way, and that we're looking at one of the more terrifying prophecies coming. And if you look at what's happening in the news today, we've got the Iranian threat, we've got the Russians on our border with Syria, the Arabs and the Palestinian Authority are going to, they're threatening to declare their own state and Jerusalem as their capital, the leftists are with them. We're seeing terrible things that, you know, North Korea, frightening things.
Tamara, I answered that question on Emunah News on Laser Beams. Okay, we have a section on Emunah News. You can also see Emunah News on Facebook and Laser Beams. The prophet says from the north will come the evil. Okay, people think it's a prophecy of the first temple, okay, when Nebuchadnezzar came. But Nebuchadnezzar came from the east. If you look in the map, Babylonia, which is today's Iraq, it's in the east, slightly northeast. Okay, but here you see Iran, they now control, the Shiites control Iraq. So Iran, of course, controls Iran. Iraq is becoming an Iranian proxy.
Syria,
then you move
Lebanon.
On westward, and they're now controlling Syria. Move on more, they've got Hezbollah. Okay, so really, Lebanon's turned into an Iranian puppet.
Right.
So now Iran controls to the sea, and they're completely north of us. This no would come out, okay? So what Hashem has to do is some people, you know, if they don't listen to Hashem, it's like we say with Antifada. The Antifada started out with rocks, okay, rock throwing. They didn't listen, it turned into knives. And people still didn't listen, and it turns into pistols, then it turned into bombs and suicide bombs and the Qassam rockets and Katyush rockets. And now what is this? It's getting the wake-up calls get louder and louder and louder. So what Hashem is doing, he's now bringing them to borders, all right? But I firmly believe, thank you, Hashem. Hashem gives me the privilege of going around the world and seeing not just Jewish people. I came recently back from the UK. Okay, I was in Wales, up in the hills, in the foothills of Wales. Okay, a group of, and who brought me there? Noahide people that want to know about Amunah. You see this in the south of Texas, in Waco, Texas. And the American nations in Northern Ontario and in Hong Kong and in Singapore.
Okay, you can hold that thought. We have to take another break. It's our last break. We're going to be right back. We're speaking with Rabbi Lazer Brody on the redemption, the Messianic era, and the news that we're seeing today. We'll be right back.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio, and we're speaking with our guest, Rabbi Lazer Brody, and we're talking about the Messianic era and the news that we're seeing today. Does this coincide with what our prophets spoke about thousands of years ago? And Rabbi Brody, when we had last left off, we were talking about the redemption, is it going to come in a good way or in a terrifying way? And you were saying that both are possible, but I just want to understand, what do you see? I mean, again, let me just repeat. We've got Russia, which if you talk about Gog and Magog and coming from the north, Moscow, if you look at a map, is like directly above Israel. So a lot of people are saying that Russia, you know, Gog, whatever, and they're itching to get their claws here into the Middle East. Are we going to see an invasion? They talk about an invasion also in our prophecies, I understand. And then yet we have, seems to be a friend, U.S. President Donald Trump, and he seems to be saying the right things and hopefully doing them. What do you see happening?
See, one thing, once again, the chips could fall either way. What you will see, first of all, either way, Hashem is showing one thing. Hashem is showing one thing, that it is not, with all due respect to the IDF and all due respect to high tech and all due respect to F-35s and F-22s and F-16s, it is not the army. King David says that in the prophecy. They have their armaments, they have their chariots. We have Hashem, okay? The people of Hashem, just what Hashem told Moses, that I'm Egypt, don't say, move aside. And Moses told him, move aside, let Hashem fight the battle. Okay, people don't believe that. They're going to see the big miracles. They are going to see the big miracles. And go one by one explaining the miracles. If going back to 1967, the Six-Day War, go back to 1948. Okay, Israel, the most times, what heaven forbid, should have been wiped off the map, won the wars, times that are relatively militarily easy wars, like 1982 and like the first Lebanon, the second Lebanon War against Hezbollah, that Israel should have taken them out in 10 minutes and came home with tail between the legs. Hashem is showing us. Hashem is showing us that it's not our military power. It is Hashem. Okay. So if Russia or anyone else and the whole UN decides to come and to step foot in the land of Israel or in Jerusalem, okay, or even in the Holy of Holies, they're in for a big surprise. Because like Rashi says in the very first page of Chumash's commentary, the very first page, this is not anybody's land. It belongs to Hashem. This is the king's palace. This is the king's backyard. And Mr. Putin or Kim Jong-un or anyone, not even our friends, Mr. Trump, nobody tells Hashem what to do in his backyard. Hashem has his own temple. Now, if you ask a question, so why is the Waqf still on the Temple Mount? Hashem has his reasons. We don't try to second-guess Hashem. But there's one thing we know, that everything is for the best. Everything is for the best. At the exact moment, you're going to blink an eye, and it's not going to be there. Okay? Yeshua, the Hashem, keherafayim, that the salvation of Hashem is like blinking an eye. And it's also the prophets, they promise. Okay? So now, why did they say, like in the beginning of the broadcast, they were so delighted. Okay, the nations of the world are coming against Israel. All nations are. This is a prophecy. Ah, but the salvation of Hashem is like a blink an eye. This is also a prophecy. Okay? So when we know all we have to do right now, that's the thing. What do I do now? Okay, what does my hishtadlut, what does my effort have to be? My effort has to be to do my job on earth, which is life unto the nations. Okay, this is all of the job of the Jewish people on earth, and particularly in the land of Israel, to be light unto the nations. And then we have the 70 against the 70. We have to be the most upright nation. We have to be an example. We have to be a beacon of emunah, a beacon of faith in God, okay? And just as we say when we return the Torah to the Ark every Saturday morning, and we quote the Proverbs, that and we say Eitz HaChayim, and we quote King Solomon, and we say that all its paths are paths of peace. The difference between us and everybody else, we don't live by the sword, and we don't try to spread truth by the sword, that all of history does, not the Jewish people. You know, we're not trying to posit it to anybody. But if people want to see prophecy, what we said right before the break, as if the nations of the world knew what's waiting for them with the full redemption of two people, it's called Tikkun Olam, the correction of the world, which means all of their abundance, both material and spiritual abundance, it comes from the king's palace. Where's the king's palace? Here in the land of Israel. Okay, this is the land of Israel. And this is going to be the big surprise. So with the fact that Hezbollah's got its armaments and Russia's got its eyes here looking here and Iran is here. Come on, Tamar, that doesn't scare us. You know, it's not as scary as it was in May 67. May 67, I don't know. People are too young to remember that.
Maybe in 73. I want to ask you this. We have another listener that's asking. John is asking, does the rabbi see the emergence of a fake Messiah before the real one comes on the scene? Very quickly.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. The Jewish people will not make that mistake again. But what we do have, we do in every generation, we rally around the true and righteous men of the generation, our scholars. Now, who is the true and righteous men of the generation? Okay, I once asked this question to the Amshin of a Rebbe, who is one of the biggest righteous men alive, in Bayit Vagan in Jerusalem. Okay, the Amshin of a Rebbe said that the true scholar of the generation is the one who brings most souls close to the Almighty. Okay, so we know that Lubavitch Rebbe was a pretty good candidate in previous generation. Okay, I have a good candidate for this generation. My own rabbi has brought millions of souls to Hashem.
Rabbi Arush, you're saying.
Rabbi Arush.
Do you believe that he's the Mashiach? That he's the Messiah?
No. No, we're talking about Tzaddik of the generation.
Oh, the righteous. Okay. All right, Rabbi, we only have like 3 more minutes left. So do you have any idea who you might think is a candidate today for being the Messiah?
A candidate today for the Messiah? I'll tell you something. The Gemara says that all the righteous leaders could be candidates. Okay. Not only that, since the Messiah is called in Kabbalah the Klaliut Neshama, he's called the General Neshama because he has sparks of every Neshama.
Neshama is a soul for everybody.
Right. That is how Neshama will be able to look at the Yonah family and see what hurts them because he can feel them in his Neshama. All right. He could look at Tamar Yonah and then look at Mr. Yonah and look at all the Yonah children and see what hurts them. He'd look at everyone in the world because he is a general neshama. So really, when you look around, anybody could be neshama and anybody could be a Mashiach. But as we see, this once again is conjecture and we stay away from that. But what we do know is one thing, and this again, this is something that Rav Sholem teaches, and people that read books, they see this all the time, the Garden of Muna, that's been at multi-million copies in over 13 languages. It tells about a Muna. I strongly suggest everybody read it. But as soon as a person has a Muna, his own personal redemption has arrived. Rabbi Natan of Breslev, that his 173rd Yortzeit is this Thursday on the 10th of Tevet, on the fast day. Rabbi Natan, after he learned the teachings of his teacher, Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Natan says, my Mashiach is here already. Okay, I get redemption. What is Mashiach going to do? He's going to attach us to Hashem. So when a person attaches to the Almighty on his own accord, his Mashiach is here. And that's the whole thing.
Okay, Rabbi, we only have another minute left, and I want you to answer this question if you can, please, in only like one sentence or two. Joshua is asking, how do we rely on God completely?
How do we rely on God completely? First of all, if a person would say thank you every single day to God for all the miracles and loving kindness, he could rely on completely. Now, to appreciate that, you have to realize you're not plugged into the wall. Your heart isn't plugged into the wall. Your lungs aren't plugged into the wall. And you have to understand that the Almighty, in his amazing divine personal supervision over your life, okay, what we call divine providence, hashgacha pratit, he personally is massaging your heart, your lungs, making all your senses work. So there's nobody else to depend on. And this is what the Gemara tells Tractate So. There's no one to depend on Hashem. The more you depend on Hashem, the more you feel Hashem in your life. And that's why truly a person with a Muna, he really is not worried. He really is not worried. What concerns me is that people should learn Emuna. I'm not concerned about Hezbollah, not about Nasrallah, and not about Hamas. And, you know, I live right in the backyard of Gaza. Okay, but see, I'm not worried about them. What about the we should learn the Emunah, that we should do what we're supposed to do?
So, Rabbi, to sum everything up, the way to prepare for whatever type of redemption unfolds, whether it is a gentler, kinder one, or whether, God forbid, it's a frightening one, the way to prepare is to rely on God, to have that Emunah. And you're saying by doing that, we have to thank God for everything that he's given us, to remember that God is part of every single minuscule second of our lives, that he loves us, he wants the best for us, he's rooting for us to be good, righteous people and to become close to him. You would sum it up like that?
Okay, Tamar, I got a promise for you and for the listeners, okay? And it's a signed promise from Rabbi Shlomo Arush.
20 seconds.
It goes all the way back.
20 seconds.
Strengthen yourself in Emunah, and you're going to go through the birth pangs of Mashiach with like going through chocolate milk. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be easy. Everything be easy. All you got to do is strengthen yourself in Emunah.
I sure hope so. Rabbi Laser Brody, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you.
It's been my greatest pleasure, Tamar. Every blessing.
And thank you to all of our listeners. You can write us and leave your comments on the page where the show is podcasted. Thank you, everybody.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.